morning, everybody. Merry Christmas. I was thinking when Pastor Dan was talking about time for prayer, I was thinking of things that happened in my lifetime that people were brought into my life. You know, this time of year is Christmas. You think birth of Christ, and you think about family and friends and time to get together. And I think of my lifetime of all the people that have been brought into my life that have made a tremendous impact on me following the Lord, and just being the right people in my life at the right time. So that stuff doesn't happen by accident.
Nope.
It's all part of God's plan, and I'm evidence of that for sure. And I'm sure everyone out there probably can relate to the same thing that I just said. But I will, as the pastor said, I will be reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be the sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with an angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests."
Thank you, Bob. Here you go. Well done. Thank you. And the Lord always adds his blessing to the reading together and hearing of his word. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word and for its truth and for this wonderful story that tells us again about how you entered our world, laying aside the glories of heaven and coming to be born as a baby to give your life on the cross for us. We thank you for the joy that your coming brings to us. And Lord, as we look into this word, into your story again of your birth, Lord, may we hear it with fresh ears like we've never heard the story before, and continue to be amazed at the greatness and the glory of your coming and what it means for us. Fill our hearts with joy this morning as we rejoice before you and as we celebrate the life that we have through Jesus. We thank you for your word. Meet with us today, and may we hear from you. Speak to each of our hearts, Lord. You know where we are before you. You know our needs. And so, Lord, we give ourselves to you this morning through Christ our Lord, in whom we pray. Amen. A family during the time of the Great Depression was unable to afford anything but the bare necessities. It was a pretty difficult time, and the family and the father worked hard to try to provide just the basic needs for his family and his children. But one day, there was news that the circus was coming to town. And boy, this man's son was all excited because he wanted to see the circus. He had never been to one before, and he heard all about it. But the ticket for a circus cost a dollar. Now, that was a lot in the times of the Great Depression. But the little boy came running home excited and full of joy with eagerness, and he said, Dad, the circus is coming. Can I go?" But his father regretfully told the boy that he couldn't provide him the extra money that he needed, or the dollar, to go to the circus. But he did tell him, he said, "But if you go out and you get an odd job and you try to earn some money, you can, if you get enough money, you can go and buy yourself a ticket. And if you fall short, I'll match what you have. And hopefully you can get enough to go." So he went out and he worked some jobs, and he made just enough money to purchase a ticket on his own. And his dad promised to match what he needed. So the boy worked feverishly a few days before the circus came to town, and he found that he had just enough to buy the ticket, including what his dad had given him. So he took the money with his hand, joy in his hand and excitement. He ran off to town to buy his ticket to the circus. Well, the day the circus came to town, there was much excitement and joy in the town. And the boy was so excited, he couldn't wait to get there. And he grabbed his ticket in his hand and he held on to it. And he rushed down the main street where he stood on the curb as the circus parade passed by. And he was thrilled as the parade came by and he watched the clowns. And he saw elephants walking by him. And all the performers in the circus, he said, "This is great. I've never seen anything like this before." Then a clown came over to him, dancing over to him, and he was all excited. And he took the ticket and he put it in the clown's hand, and the clown went on his way. And he eagerly watched the rest of the parade pass him by. After the parade was over, the boy rushed home to tell his father all that he had seen and experienced at the circus, and how much fun he had on that particular day. But his father was surprised that he had arrived home so soon. How did he get home so quickly? And so he asked him to describe what he had seen and what the circus was like. And the boy told him about the parade that came down Main Street. And he told him about how the everything passed him by, and how he put the ticket in the clown's hand, and he saw the elephants and everybody watched by in the parade. After the son told him the story, his father sadly took his son in his arms and he said, "But son, you didn't see the circus. You just saw the parade." That boy reminds us of sadly how many people it is for us at Christmas, for people at Christmas time. They don't experience, they celebrate the parade, but they don't see the circus. A lot of people celebrate the wrappings of Christmas. And they'll get together tomorrow and they'll open their presents and they'll have their family dinners and they sing their songs and they go through all the hush and rush, but they miss the main event. They're watching a parade go by, but they don't know the meaning. And they miss the whole point. Just this week, I was buying some last-minute Christmas stuff that I needed to get for Kim's stocking tomorrow, and I was at the Dollar General getting a last-minute things I needed to, and I was standing in line, as you know how it gets in the stores this time of the year, and everybody's standing in line, everybody's waiting, and there was this people in front of me, and the cashier was waiting some people out, and she was not too happy, and she was not in too good of a mood. And she said to the lady she was waiting on, she said, "I just cannot wait for Christmas to get over." She said, "I hate this." And the lady in front of me said, "I do too." She said, "I just hate this whole thing." And the cashier said, "I just can't wait for it to get over." She said, "I'm tired of looking at this stuff." There is a person that missed the main point. Going to the circus, seeing the parade, seeing all the trappings and the wrapping and the decorations, even selling stuff, seeing everything around her, but missing the whole point of what the day's about. And because of that, there was no joy in her heart. And like Ebenezer Scrooge, many people go around and say, "Bah humbug," to the whole thing. "I just can't wait till this is over. All this rush, all the parties, all this needless worry. Why?" But several years ago, at Christmas, when we were going down to Kim's parents and we were opening or exchanging gifts with them, her mother gave me a Christmas present to open. And I opened it up and I unwrapped it. And I looked inside and here it was an empty box. And I looked inside and I didn't say anything. She said, Kim's mother said, "Well, what's in there?" And I was trying to be nice. I said, "Well, nothing." She said, "I'm sorry, did I give you an empty box?" But for many people, that's what Christmas is without Jesus. without understanding the whole joy of what Christmas is about, it's like opening an empty box and taking all the wrappings, and the joy is gone because there's nothing that sustains us. After the presents, the toys will break, all the meals and all the parties will die down. But without Jesus, there is no joy. Long after the presents are opened, the tree is down, the decorations are put away back into where they're stored for next year. For many, the joy of Christmas subsides because it was only temporary. It was only fleeting. But the joy of Christmas, the real joy of Christmas, lasts and changes our life and lasts forever. And the joy of Christmas is found within, and it's found through Jesus, who God gave to us. We began a series 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, entitled There's a Song in the Air, and we've been looking at the various Christmas songs in Luke chapter 1 and 2 that were sung by various different people. And we saw the one sung by Mary. We saw the 2 weeks ago the one sung by Zechariah, and we learned that through the quietness, as he reflected on what God did in his life, he had learned some very deep lessons from God. But today we want to look at the song of the angels, or in Sunday school, Dean said, the word of the angels. No message that they actually sang it, but whatever. The message that the angels gave, because it was a message of joy, of lasting joy. Life-changing joy that gives true meaning and purpose to our life long after Christmas is over. Joy that sustains us, not just one day, but every day of the year. Joy that sustains us no matter what we're going through, and no matter what hardships come in our life, that Paul was able to say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. And why? It's because of Christmas and what happened there. The message that the angels delivered is a message of lasting joy for us and in our life that changes us forever. But as we listen to the words that Bob just read, and as I was reflecting on this story this week in preparation for this morning, it's a story we've heard many, many times over since childhood up. And the angel says, behold, I bring you good tidings, or good news of great joy, which is for all the people. For today is born to you in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. It led me to ask the question, and maybe you had the same one, and that is, why does this message of the angel bring joy? What's so joyful about the words that the angels proclaimed? What is it that makes that joy last in our life? Why was it such a joyful message when the angel said, it's a good news of great joy that I have for you? What was it about that message that brought and brings lasting joy? Well, that's the question we want to answer this morning, as we discover again the joy of the world, that the Lord has come to us. Because through the message of the angel, through the good coming of Jesus, there's five reasons the angel's song brings us lasting joy. Far greater than just seeing the parade, but actually witnessing the main event. Because it's all wrapped up in Jesus. The angel's song brings us joy, true, lasting joy eternally first, because the days of fear and darkness are over. And isn't that something to rejoice about, friends? That the days of fear and darkness are over and past in our life? That we don't have to fear any longer? We don't have to fear the judgment of God any longer? if we know Jesus. We don't have to fear His condemnation and wrath because of the coming of Christ. That Paul said there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who know Him, who have been forgiven. It says here that their shepherds were living out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were what? Afraid or terrified. They were scared to death. Here they were, the shepherds, keeping watch over their flock. In the middle of the night, all of a sudden, an angel appears and His glory of God reveals around them. I probably would have been terrified too. But they were filled with fright as the angel spoke to them. But like the shepherds, you and I, all of us, were all living in darkness. We all were living in the darkness of sin. And that darkness of sin is a scary place to be. And that darkness of sin was where we all were. And when the light of God's holiness and the light of God's glory breaks through the darkness of our sin and exposes that light into the darkness of our sin, can't that be a scary thing? When God shines the light of His holiness onto our sin, that's scary, isn't it? And it was for the shepherds. But the angel said, but don't be afraid anymore, because I got good news for you. And the good news that I have for you is that a Savior has been born to take all that darkness away. And when we trust Christ and He comes Lord of our life and Savior, the fear and the darkness are gone forever. That's a reason for joy, isn't it? That's a reason to rejoice. That we don't have to fear that anymore. John says that perfect love casts out fear, because fear has to do with judgment. And when God's grace overwhelms us and His love and His forgiveness washes away our sin, there's nothing to fear before Him anymore. We don't have to fear His judgment. We know He will receive us through Jesus. So the fear and the darkness are past. When the good news is that the light dispels the darkness of our sin and illuminates His love and sets us free. Sets us free from the sin that held us captive and held us bondage. And the angels, the shepherds' fear was turned to joy when they realized the light of God's love shining upon them. So we can rejoice because the days of darkness are over, but secondly, we have joy from the angel's message because we have been given what we really need. That's another reason to rejoice, because we've been given what we really need. Have you ever had the experience where someone gave you something and a gift that you really, really wanted? Maybe it's something you were hoping for, and someone gave that to you, and you opened up that gift, and man, you feel the joy because this is really what I wanted. Last week at dress rehearsal, after at the pizza party, when the kids work so hard, Kim and I always give them gifts as part of the pizza party. And one of the little boys, Nolan, had given them all their gifts. And one of the little boys, Nolan, comes up to me. And it was just a Lego car that we gave him, a Lego kit that you build this car out of. And he comes up to me and says, "This is great. This is what I always wanted." He said, "This is what I wanted for Christmas." And he kept going over and over. "This is what I wanted. This is what I really..." And he just kept going over and over. And the joy had come out of his heart because he got what he really wanted. And God gave us what we really needed. Not what we really wanted, but what we really needed. And that was a Savior. So today, in the city of David, a Savior has been given to you and to me, because God knew our need. And God knows what to give us. He knows how to give good gifts. He knows how to give the best gifts. Because he knows our every need. Has anybody ever given you a gift that you didn't really need or you could never use? And so, like, for instance, someone gave you a key to a car, but you didn't have a car. Would that be very beneficial to you? Or if someone gave you a subscription to the internet and you don't have a computer, would that be very beneficial or helpful? Probably not. I mean, you'd say, what in the world did you give me this for? I can't use this. It's nothing I need, or it's nothing I can use. Or for me, if someone gave me the latest and best thing of the best tools you can use, you know, I might take it out of the box, Bill, and take a look at them and say, oh, that's great, but what am I going to do with them? Something I couldn't use. But God knows when someone does that and they gives you something that you really can't use too well, what's that communicate to you? Sometimes it tells us, well, that person doesn't know me too well. That person doesn't really know me well at all. If they knew me better, they would know that that's not what I can't use that. But see, God knows us so well that he knows what we really need. He knows more than anything else what we needed was a Savior. So that's what he gave us. He knew that we needed saving. And we needed to be forgiven and saved from our sin. So in Christmas, he gave us a Savior. That's why there's joy. Because he gave us what we really need, what we needed the most. But sadly, there's a lot of people today that don't realize that that's what they need. They're like, again, the boy going to the circus and seeing the parade, but not seeing the main event. And they don't realize that we all need to be forgiven and saved from our sin. And sad today, there's people today going through life without that need, without that knowledge. Suppose you were standing in the bank and you were standing in line and you've been waiting for quite a while because there's a lot of people in front of you and you're waiting and you're slowly getting there and you almost get up to the front and I come in and I grab a hold of you and I grab a hold of your shirt and your arm and pull you out of the bank and you say, but what are you doing? I say, well, I'm saving you. You need to be saved. You're in danger. I'm saving you. And you look at me, and you say, well, what in the world did you do that for? You tore my shirt, you pulled me out of the front of the line, and I was almost ready, I was waiting all this time, and you grabbed a hold of me and pulled me out. You say, that was ridiculous. But suppose, that same time, you were standing in line, and there happened to be a bank robber. And I grabbed a hold of you and pulled you out and saved you. What's the difference? That time you would appreciate it because you knew you were in danger. See, a lot of people don't realize that their lives are in danger and in peril and need a Savior. And that's why God came. And that's what Christmas is all about. God gave us what we really needed most. He knows and knew what we needed. So he sent a Savior, but he also showed us in that gift of giving Jesus as a Savior to us, a Savior has been born, that he shows us how much he loves us by giving us what we really needed as well. He gave us himself. In Romans 5:8, the scripture says that God demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, remember the rest of the verse, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And God showed us how much he loved us through the giving of himself and his only son. Sadly, many people don't acknowledge that or receive it, or they cast it aside. Once upon a time, there was a man who worked very hard just to keep food on his table for his family. This particular year, a few days before Christmas, he was really upset with his little 5-year-old daughter. Why? Because he had learned that she had used up the family's only roll of expensive gold wrapping paper. And she used all of it up on one particular thing. As money was tight, he became even more upset when Christmas Eve he saw that the child had used all of the wrapping, expensive gold paper, to decorate just one little box that she had put under the Christmas tree. He also was concerned about where she had gotten the money to buy whatever was in that box. So he was kind of upset with her about that. Nevertheless, the next morning, the little girl, filled with excitement and joy, brought that gift box to her father and said, "This is for you, Daddy." As he opened the box, the father was embarrassed by his earlier overreaction, and now he regretted that he was upset that she had spent using that wrapping paper for that one box. So, but when he opened the box, he found that it was empty. And again, he was filled with anger, and he was upset. And he said, "Don't you know, young lady," he said, "that when you give somebody a present, there's supposed to be something inside? And then you took all this paper and you wrapped it and you gave me a box with nothing in it." And he was really upset. The little girl looked up at him with tears in her eyes. And she whispered and said to him, "But Daddy, it's not empty. I blew kisses into it until it was full." The father was crushed. He fell on his knees and he put his arms around his little girl. And he begged her to forgive him. But see, that's what Christmas was about. God wrapping himself with himself. And giving us himself so that we would know how much he loved us. So there's joy because the fear and darkness are over. He gave us what we really need. Third, there's joy from the angel's message because God has come down to us. And that brings joy. That God has come down to us in verses 11 and 12. It says that the angel said, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." That God has come down to us himself and that he has broken into our world. He has broken into where you and I are and live every day. And he left the glories of heaven. And he did not consider his position in heaven something to be held on to, Philippians says, but made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant, wrapping himself in human flesh for us. Verse 11 says some wonderful things about who God is, who Jesus was. He said he was a Savior who has been born. That "has been born" mean that he became fully human, just like us, meaning that he understands. He sympathizes with you and I in every way possible. All that you and I have experienced, he has experienced too. And he understands that. And that's the kind of God we have. Aren't you thankful that he humbled himself to that degree, becoming fully human? But also it says that he was Christ, the anointed one of God, who is prophet, priest, and king. The one who intercedes for us. The one who brings the very word of God. And the one who will someday rule. And he is Christ the Lord, God himself, who has come down to us. The creator. The Lord of all. The one who holds the universe together. Is the very God who wrapped himself in human flesh. It's the very God who's with you right now. And God has broken into your world and mine. And that gives purpose to the mundane things of life. Here is the shepherds were tending their sheep. And imagine the life of a shepherd in Bible times in this time was not very good. Shepherds were considered outcasts. They were considered the lowliest of the low. No one wanted to be really around the shepherds much. And It was a mundane job of caring for the sheep day in and day out. A thankless job, but yet they did it well. But God broke into their world and gave them purpose, because it's believed that these shepherds tending the sheep outside the hillside of Bethlehem were raising the sheep that were used for the Passover celebrations in Jerusalem. And Jesus, who was the Passover lamb, giving true purpose. And when Jesus breaks his life into, comes into our world, yours and mine, it gives us purpose. Life is no longer mundane. Life is no longer, but the Savior has come. God is with us, gives us purpose in our life and all that we do, knowing that he is sharing with us in that. And it gives joy. It turns the normal events of life into an opportunity to serve and glorify God in it. And that we are never alone, because God is with us. Emmanuel, his name should be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. There's joy at Christmas because God is with you. When you get that, when you have the end struggle at the end of the month, how are you going to make ends meet? When you get that call of an unexpected loss of a family member, or you get that bad doctor's report, or whatever it is that are happening in your life, know that God is with you in it. God is walking with you there, and he doesn't leave and abandon his own. That brings joy. That's a reason to rejoice. Because God has come down to us. Fourth, the angel's message brings joy because our hearts are filled with peace. Verses 13 and 14 says that suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with God, with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace on men on whom his favor rests." Having peace in our heart, that inner peace, knowing that God is with us. We have peace with God because we know and are assured that we are right with him through our faith. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 14 says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in its flesh the law with his commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to those of you who were away, and preach to those of you that were near. For through him we have access to the Father by the one Spirit." We have peace with God because through Jesus our Savior and faith in him, we know and are assured that we are right with God. That we can stand before him accepted. That we can stand before God forgiven and clean. And that gives us peace. That's a reason to rejoice. That peace with God that he promises on those who he favors. But we also have peace with others because he calls us to forgive. That just as we have been forgiven, he calls us to forgive. And Jesus has come to bring and to heal broken relationships and to restore those relationships that were damaged by sin. Ours with him and us with one another. And Colossians chapter 3 verse 15 says, "Let the peace of God rule in your heart, since as one body you were called to peace." And Romans 12, verse 18 says, "As much as depends on you, live at peace with all men, with others." But we also have peace within, because we know that he is working all things out through our good. Philippians 4, 7 tells us, "Be anxious about nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace which passes and transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." And that's the peace within we have. Knowing that when the storms hit, when the adversities come, God is in control. God is working it out for the good. God holds me in His hand. He's going to be there with me. And that's peace. Blessed peace. So joy. We have joy because peace fills our hearts with the coming of Christ and with knowing Him on those who He favors. And He favors those who know Him as Lord and Savior. And fifth, this song gives us joy because it's a song that everyone can sing. It's a song that everyone can sing. Verse 10 says, "The angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid, but I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people.'" He has given one song that all the world can sing because there's only one way. Now, we all like different kinds of music. And there's a lot of different kinds of music out there and a lot of different, personally, I don't call them music, I call them noise. But there's a lot of different kinds of music out there and sung in different kinds of ways and different kinds of languages. But Jesus has come as a song that we all can sing because He is sent to all the people. Remember that Coca-Cola commercial that came out years ago, "I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony"? Remember that? And everybody's singing one song. Well, Jesus is the only way. And God sent Him that everybody can know Him and know that way of salvation. But the choice is up to whether we want to sing it or not. It's up to us. And we've all been given that choice. And if we want to sing the song of salvation, the song of redeemed. But He made it available because He placed His Son in a manger. He wrapped Him in swaddling clothes and laid Him in a manger, not in a palace. Not where only a select few could come, but in a manger where all could have access. It was announced first to the shepherds, the outcasts of their day, not to the powerful and rich. And He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, not in regal robes. Telling us that everyone is welcome. All who will may come and receive the joy that Jesus brings to us. That brings joy to the whole world. It's a song everyone can sing if they choose to. And that's where we have true and lasting joy. So as we celebrate Christmas, as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, the joy of what this day means for us is not just something that is short-lived. But it's something that changes us and lasts every day of our life. That even from a prison cell, and chains and shackled for the sake of the gospel, the Apostle Paul could still say, "I rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll say rejoice." Because he knew the reason why. He didn't go to the circus and see the parade and miss the main event. He knew the Jesus of what the day was about. Many people today around us, maybe some within even your own family and friends, see the parade of Christmas, and they see all the trappings and all the outside and all the world celebration, but miss the main event and don't understand the reason of the joy within. It's only through Jesus. But today, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for that good news of great joy. That Jesus has come to us and you sent us what we really need because you knew us well. And you knew our need was to be saved. So Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that has not trusted you as Lord and Savior, is not experiencing the true joy within them from you, I pray that today would be the day that they would receive that greatest gift, the gift that you gave and made available to all who will. For those of us that know you, Lord, I pray that the joy from knowing you as Savior will reign in our heart, knowing that the fear and darkness are past. that we don't have to fear the darkness any longer because you had defeated and destroyed it. We don't have to fear judgment because we have been forgiven through Christ. That you broke into our world and you're with us always. That you knew exactly what we needed. That you fill us with peace. Peace knowing our sins are forgiven. Peace with one another. And peace within. That even when the hard times come, we know that you're in control. And thank you, Lord, for coming in a way that all of us are welcome to come to you by faith. So thank you for the joy you give us. May we rejoice not only Christmas Day, but every single day in your goodness and your grace and in the Savior who came to us to change us forever. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.